Well, a US terrorism analyst whose research focuses on the impact of targeted killings predicts that the US elimination of the Taliban leader will only increase the danger to Afghan civilians. Dr. Max Abrams from Northeastern University in Boston told me that the US government does not look carefully enough at the strategic implications of its strikes on extremist leaders.
You're quite right. I am a skeptic about the strategic utility of this tactic. I've done a number of studies on leadership decapitation of a militant group, like Mansour, for example, in the Taliban. And I do not find a major reduction or even a significant, statistically significant reduction in the amount of violence perpetrated by the group. In fact, these decapitation strikes can actually be counterproductive because one of the unsaid assumptions of the targeted killing campaigns is that the replacement of the leader that you killed will be more moderate. And yet I find just the opposite to be true. The replacement is even more extreme. And so for that reason, in the immediate aftermath of a successful targeted killing, like over this weekend, the group's violence tends to become even more extreme in the sense that it's even more likely to attack civilian targets, to blow up markets, to blow up schools.
So this targeted killing of the Taliban leader puts civilians in Afghanistan in more danger.
It's true. When people talk about drones and civilians, they typically emphasize, understandably, the collateral damage, because sometimes civilians are harmed accidentally in the act of trying to take out the leader. But what I'm saying is that civilians are actually doubly at risk, not just from the drone itself, but because when the leader is removed, the group tends to use violence in a much more indiscriminate fashion, putting the population at risk. The Taliban is really notorious for this sort of violence. The Taliban seems willing to strike almost any target. And I actually think one of the reasons why has been because the leadership has so continuously been attrited through the death of the predecessor and through other targeted killings. And the ones who will pay the most will be the Afghan population. What I've seen is that the younger people to emerge in the Taliban are actually even crazier, if you will, than the old guard.
And do you have a sense of who will replace Mansour as head of the Taliban?
We're not really sure. We have to wait. But the name that I keep hearing is Haqqani, the leader of the Haqqani terrorist group. And so that's really bad news. The Haqqani network is at least as extreme as the Taliban has been historically. You know, in the United States, the Taliban is actually not designated by the U.S. State Department as a foreign terrorist organization, whereas the Haqqani network is. So if Haqqani were to take over in the Taliban, I can't imagine how that would be a step in a more moderate direction.
The U.S. military clearly has a different view from yours. The Pentagon says Mansour posed a danger to the U.S. and Afghan forces and was obstructing peace talks. What do you think it expects removing him will do?
Honestly, the fact that the U.S. government is so reliant on drones doesn't mean that the U.S. government has very carefully studied the strategic implications. I trust my own studies. I really scrutinize the outcome of these attacks. I think governments do not fully understand the implications of their various tactical choices. That said, I can understand why Mansour was targeted. I don't mean to suggest in any way that he was moderate. He was extreme. He has been an opponent of the peace process. And I think that there's just a sense that if we have a clean shot at the leader of a terrorist group, that we should take it. But I think that the hope is that maybe the group doesn't have a deep bench, that maybe the group will have difficulty replacing the leadership. I just think that that's folly when you're dealing with a group like the Taliban, which has tens of thousands of members. You know, we've used these leadership decapitation strikes, these targeted killings in a number of countries against various terrorist groups in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Yemen, in Somalia, in Iraq, and in Syria. And all of these countries remain a complete disaster. The terrorist groups do not seem to be any weaker. So I think just looking around, just independent of my statistical analysis, you can't be that confident that these attacks are really having the desired effect.
What do you expect the effect will be on the peace talks specifically between the Taliban and the governments of China, the US, Pakistan and Afghanistan? Because as you say, Mansour was an obstacle to the peace negotiations.
Again, I don't think that his replacement is going to be any better. A person who wants to assume leadership in the Taliban is now going to be incentivized to use even more violence in order to demonstrate his bona fides and command respect within the organization. So I don't think that the peace process was on track before, but I don't think that taking out Mansour will facilitate that in any way.
This attack happened well inside Pakistani territory, the first U.S. strike in Baluchistan. What do you think it will do to the U.S.-Pakistani relationship?
Well, there's some debate right now about whether Pakistan knew about the attack or didn't. John Kerry says that he informed Pakistan of the attack. It wasn't clear to me whether he informed Pakistan before or after the attack, but right now, U.S.-Pakistani relations are kind of at a low point. Pakistan did release a statement saying that they were upset by the violation of, you know, national sovereignty with the United States going in there, but that may have just been for public consumption. It is possible that Pakistan knew, especially because the United States was going into a territory where we don't have very strong intelligence assets. So it could be that not only did Pakistan know, but that it assisted in terms of providing intel for the strike.
But if it didn't, and if the tensions do become worse between the U.S. and Pakistan, how dangerous is that for the region?
It's very bad, especially because if the replacement is Haqqani, my understanding is that Pakistan may have more influence over him than over Mansour. This is one of those relationships where, although the United States is a much stronger power than in Pakistan, in some ways, Pakistan has more leverage, and the success in Afghanistan depends to a large degree on Pakistan not, you know, supporting the terror. Historically, the U.S. has not been successful in getting Pakistan to comply.
Max Abrams, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure thing.
That's Dr. Max Abrams, a terrorism expert from Northeastern University, speaking to me earlier today.